But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hey everyone, welcome back. So we're continuing our series on finding your purpose and destiny. And let me just pray and we can jump right into this teaching today. I'm going to be talking about anointings. I know last week I said this week I would talk about mantles and anointings. Quite frankly, after doing the research and reading about it and studying, there's no way I can do all of that in one class, one session. So today I'm actually going to talk about the anointing. And even in this one, I'm hoping to be done with this one class, but there might be more because honestly, I could write a book on this whole subject because it's so wide and expansive. Anyway, let me pray and then we'll get into it. Almighty God, I thank you for your power, for your presence, for your spirit. Holy Spirit, I call you, come now, fill us afresh and anew. Paint us on the outside and fill this atmosphere with your presence. Also fill the atmosphere of everyone that is here watching with your presence, Lord. Open ears to hear, eyes to see. Give them a spirit to discern exactly what you would like to speak to their spirits. Thank you for this time. Bless this teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it was a lot. So first of all, the question would be, where does the anointing come from? The anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, also sometimes called the Holy Ghost. So the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't just come about in Acts chapter 2 with the disciples. He has been there from the very beginning, from Genesis, in the creation account, Genesis chapter 1, it says verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So we see that the Spirit was there. Now, what happens is, when we come into a relationship with Christ, and as a part of our salvation, God's Spirit is to be imparted upon us as well. And a lot of times that does happen where people will pray the sinner's prayer and then the Spirit of God gets imparted. But then there are cases, as it has happened with me as well, where you might mentally know Christ. You may have even received Christ, but the Holy Spirit has not yet come upon you or filled you. And I've said this before to other people and they get very offended by it because to them it's like, no, once you pray the sinner's prayer, that's it. You get everything. Well, maybe some of you get it like that. And I'm not saying that you can't, but then there are others. It doesn't work like that. It didn't work for me. And I'm going to put a scripture on the screen right now for you to read that gives the account of, even in the Bible, this is biblical, that some will receive Jesus but not come to the full understanding of the Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit. So there could be a lot of people walking around with head knowledge of God, not really being filled with the Spirit of God, which is really what you need for the anointing and the empowerment of the Lord upon your life. Okay, that's, you need the Holy Spirit in order to walk into the fullness and of the purpose and destiny to which he called you. We see that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus actually told the disciples, he said, go and wait in the upper room. I'm going now. It's Acts chapter 1, verse, where are we here? Acts chapter 1, he said, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he was telling them, I'm not even going to send you out to do what I'm really calling you to do until you receive the Holy Spirit in fullness. But what is interesting is that we see in, I believe it was John, the Gospel of John, where it said, that's John chapter 20, verse 22. This is Jesus again. And it says, he breathed on the disciples and say, receive the Holy Spirit. So he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they were able to do some works, but there was a greater work that was needed, that they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And you can read that there. But then further, we come to Acts chapter 11. Well, no, we have Acts chapter 11, verse 15, and Acts chapter 10, verse 44. And it said, as the disciples went out and preached, the Holy Spirit fell upon the people who heard the preaching. So now these are people that they didn't even pray to receive the Spirit, but they heard the word of the Lord, and the Spirit fell upon them as they heard the word. So that's another way too, where people receive the Spirit. Okay. Here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. You can be filled more than once. Yes. So when you just got saved, you know, the book of Ephesians tell us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. However, you can be filled more than once, and it's a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. All right, and I'm going to show you this in the scriptures too, so you don't think this is some made-up concept. So we've already seen that Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And even after breathing upon them, he still told them, go to the upper room and don't leave until the Spirit comes upon you. So again, that's one time, and then here comes another time. Then we have in Acts chapter 4, verse 24 and verse 31, you can actually read that whole section, 24 through 31, but I'm just going to grab two scriptures from here. This is actually Peter and John. It says, this is verse 23, sorry. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then what happened is the believers went into a whole prayer. And verse 31 says this, and after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So let me get this straight. Jesus breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. They waited in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit. And here we are again now in chapter 4, and they're being filled with the Spirit again. So you might be like, all this? It's a constant, a perpetual thing. It's not a one-time thing. They had just gone before the council. They were being persecuted and things were happening to them, and they were basically getting shaky, and they needed boldness. There are going to be some times in your life when you go to do something for the Lord and you're going to have to pray, Holy Spirit, come fill me afresh and anew. It's biblical. You can be filled more than once. It doesn't mean that you lost your salvation, or, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, once you are saved and you receive His Spirit, it says you have been sealed until the day of redemption. So you're not losing your salvation. but there are some things you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that gives you the anointing to do the things that God has called you to do. He is the one that's going to fill you with the giftings and what you need to do God's work. Okay, so now we're gonna go down to 1 John 2 verse 20, and it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." 1 John 2:27 says, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." So this is saying that when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, an anointing was given to you, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy One himself, to dwell within you. And that anointing is going to teach you, lead you, guide you into the things of God and into your purpose and your destiny. So that anointing, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. You get this when you come to know the Lord, unless you didn't, like I said, and then you need to pray to receive the Holy Spirit that will fill you. He will fill you and give you the anointing that you need to fulfill your purpose and destiny. What I'm going to do, I'm going to stop right here, right now, and I'm going to invite you. If you feel that there is no evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, why don't I just pray with you right now to receive the Holy Spirit? Okay, so it's really simple. This is not something we can give to ourselves. It's opening your heart and surrendering yourself and saying, "Holy Spirit, yes, I receive you. Come." That's it. And then he comes. It's like you're inviting him in, and he's coming in because you invited him, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you right now. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, and you can just receive him by opening your heart to God. Lord, according to your word, we open our hearts to you. We surrender to you, Lord. And by your power and in your grace and in your kindness, I pray you will fill each one right now that is listening, that wants to be filled with your Spirit. I pray you impart upon them an anointing that they've never had before, that comes with evidence of your giftings and your presence in their life, and that they will see it. They will see a difference in who you are through this, Lord, that you will use the anointing of your Spirit to open their eyes to the Scripture and bring revelation to them more than they've ever had before. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, some churches teach that the evidence of the Holy Spirit is the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, I would venture to say that is one of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That would be one. It's not all of them, because if you go and you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let's take a look at this in the New King James Version. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and another still interpretation of tongues." So all of these are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So of course tongues is one of them, but it's not the only one. That means maybe you won't speak in tongues. Maybe you'll have the gift of wisdom. Maybe you'll have the gift of knowledge. Maybe you'll have the gifts of healing. Maybe you'll have the gifts of miracles. There are different ones. Just look at that. So if for some reason you don't immediately start speaking in tongues, I don't want you to think that that doesn't mean you weren't filled with the Spirit. That's only one way to tell. Okay, so now let's talk about the word anointing. We already saw in 1 John 2:20 where it says, but you have the anointing of the Holy One. What does that word anointing mean? Well, in the Greek, the word is chrisma. It's anointing, unction. It says anointing, referring to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding the receptive believer into the fullness of God's preferred will. So it is the Holy Spirit as well who is guiding you into God's perfect will for your life. So that means that you will not find the perfect will of God for your life if you do not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is why this is so important. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit imparts the spiritual giftings as well. We see even Jesus had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. It says so in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners freed. Okay, then we look at the word anointing in the Hebrew, because Isaiah is in the Old Testament and that's Hebrew. We already looked at the Greek, which is chrisma. So the Hebrew word for anointing, as in Isaiah 61 here, it actually means to rub with oil, to anoint, by implication to consecrate, to paint, to smear. Now, here is oil. When you rub with oil, you're doing the oil outside, aren't you? When you paint, as it says, you're painting on the outside. If you say to me, which one of those houses on that street is your house? And I say to you, it's the yellow house. You're looking at it from the outside because it's painted outside. When you smear something on, you're doing it externally, generally, right? So this Old Testament picture of the anointing is an external thing. It's on you, right? But then when we look at it in the New Testament, we're seeing in you because you are being filled, right? How do you fill something? It's going inside. Is it not? So there is external, there is internal. We see that the Holy Spirit rests upon. This is fascinating, okay? Because here's the thing. We know that God the Father is in heaven. We know that Jesus the Son is on the right hand side of the Father. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the one who's here on earth. The Godhead that we're dealing with primarily here on earth is the Holy Spirit. So you need him. There is no way he's not here. That's how we are gifted and enabled to find the purpose and the will of, and the destiny of God. To find out where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do, to get giftings that we need to do what we're supposed to do. We have to have him. But what is fascinating is that we see that not only does he hover over the water externally, But now we see that we can be painted with him, smeared with him on the outside, and also we can have him filling us on the inside. Just picture that for a second in your mind, what that would look like. In, out, on, around. That is something else. I think the Holy Spirit is so misunderstood. You know, we can think of Jesus and we can see Jesus, or we can imagine what Jesus looks like. But if I said to you, what does the Holy Spirit look like? What would you say to me? Would you even understand how to describe who he is now that you know he's on you, he's in you, he's around you, and he hovers wherever he chooses? A lot of us just picture a dove because that's what we read of with the baptism of Jesus. But it's so much more than that. He is so much more than that. You know, so when someone says to you, the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, that cannot be, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Because you need them to be operating. That's who's on earth here, Holy Spirit, right? But I want you to understand that he's filling you to capacity, okay? So I'm going to give you the word. It is the Greek word. It means to make full, complete, to meet to the extent, to fill to individual capacity. That means that each and every one of us has an ability to be filled by the Spirit of God to a different capacity, a different level. I think that has to do with your calling and what you're being called to do. Some of us, it's how much do you want? How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? So you can get filled up. So now that then says, well, can you lose that? Yes. Yes. If you're, think about it, if you're going to go back and be asking, fill me again, Lord, well, weren't you filled before? What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. It's called grieving the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit through sin, he lifts off of you. Because remember, this is God. He's pure and he's holy. And he enables you by his Spirit. So when you grieve the Holy Spirit and he lifts, he's gone. This is why I'm always talking about repentance, because it's so important. If you have grieved the Spirit, and I'm pretty sure we all have at one point or another, it is through repentance that you repent for your sins and you ask the Spirit to fill you. Okay? And I'm going to show you concepts of this throughout the Bible. You know, if you read Psalm chapter 51, the whole thing, I would recommend reading the whole thing. You see where David is talking about his sin and his understanding that sin is there and the result of what comes when you continually sin. He says in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So he's fully aware that the Spirit of God can leave him. And it's only through repentance that he's asking God to return. We see that the Spirit of the Lord also left Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. We see that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and it was replaced with a tormenting spirit, it says. So God's Spirit can leave you because you grieved the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand that this word grieving, it says it means to be pained, as in childbirth, to be hurt. So you hurt the Spirit of God so much that he just backs up off of you. And so by grieving the Spirit of God, he will leave us, okay? The word is lupeia. It means to be in distress, to be grieved, to experience deep emotional pain and sadness, sorrow, a very intense pain, as even used in childbirth. That's how God's Spirit feels inside of us when we grieve him by our choices, by our lifestyle, by all of these things. And so this is how you can have someone that is actually saved, but they don't look saved because the Holy Spirit has just departed. He's gone. Okay, so the prayer I want to pray now is for us who have grieved the Spirit of God to repent and ask him to return. If you know that's you, because you know you're saved, but you're not seeing God in your life and on your life and through you, working through you, there's a possibility you grieved him, okay? And so to get that anointing of God on your life again, it requires repentance. And it's understanding when you've sinned and just coming before God and asking for forgiveness so that he can come. He's going to be attracted to those who look like him, not just in the public eye, but behind closed door when nobody is watching you. He knows. Okay, so I want to pray for you just to clear the air between you and Holy Spirit and ask him to come back. These are for the people who've, you feel like you may have grieved the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, forgive us for the times when we have done things that were a sin in your eyes, that caused you to be in pain, to be grieved, to be in sorrow, to be in distress because of our life, Lord, and what we've done and said, where we've been. God, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, make us anew. Restore us to the joy of our salvation, to the original days and the original plans that you have for our life. Fill us again, afresh and anew. Open our eyes and our ears to see where you would have us go and what you would have us to do. Fill us and anoint us for the mission ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that is pretty much all I have for you today on the anointing. This is ground level. So to recap from what you got here, basically all of us have been anointed when we receive Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit came to live within us. That's the bottom line basics of an anointing. And the anointing is to equip us to do the work of God in the earth, to guide us into his perfect will and destiny. All right, and go through, read all those scriptures again and contemplate on what you've learned today throughout the week so that God can truly start to work through you and you'll be able to see his manifested presence and his anointing in your life. Okay, remember to check the description box below for links to the study guide and the other resources we have on our website. Okay, so I will be back next week to continue this series on finding your purpose and destiny. Just pray you have an amazing week. All right, goodbye.